If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2, found on page 1177. First Timothy 2, the first four verses. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. On July 4, we celebrated 248 years as an independent country or nation. Of the 56 men who signed the original Declaration of Independence, do you know that afterwards 12 of them had their homes ransacked and burned? Several of the signers lost entire fortunes as their businesses, their fortune was destroyed by the British. 5 were captured by the British, counted as traitors, and tortured before they died. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships fighting in the actual war. I could go on, but I think you get the idea. We owe so much to these brave patriots who risked everything for our country. As Americans, we walk in the footsteps of heroes, don't we? Who have given their lives for this land. Whenever we celebrate Memorial Day or Veterans Day or July 4, I know I'm always struck by those words that I often hear, freedom is never free. It is a precious gift. Freedom's never free. Over 60 years ago, President John F. Kennedy, he laid a challenge before the American people. It's a saying that I know you're familiar with. Ask not what you can do, what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. This morning, I want to ask all of you kind of a similar question. As Christians, how can we bless our nation, this great nation that we live in? How can we bless it? The Apostle Paul lived under the rule of the Roman Empire. As a Christian and as a Roman citizen, Paul did his best to obey Roman law, even though the Roman government was definitely not perfect and did some things that just were not good. Paul believed that it was his responsibility as a citizen of Rome to respect the authority over him, the authority of officials, the authority of the government. But before we look at what the Apostle Paul says about this in our text, I think it's important first to understand what Paul means by there needs to be urgency in our prayers and the way we go about praying. Because prayer unleashes the very power of God. And you know, it's one of the most important things you can do each day. We have a list of things in our mind that we think are important. Prayer, spending time with God, it's the most important. And we forget that so often. Paul says, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Paul's point here is not to give us a list of all the different kinds of prayers we can pray. Rather, that list is focusing on how we can pray for those around us. Just people in our congregation, people in our community, but especially those in authority over us, especially in our government, the leaders of our country. Today we are so tempted to trust in so many things besides God. Our wealth, our government, military power, our leaders, a political party, our laws. When there's conflict today, our Our leaders are quick to ask the American people to please pray that God will bless this endeavor, this effort, this war effort, whatever it might be. But after the conflict is over, how often do you hear those same people encourage us to now spend time praising God for his faithfulness, how he's blessed us, how he answered our prayers? It's almost as if after a conflict is over, people start believing, well, you know what, in the end, it really was us. It was our weapons. It was our authority. It was our leaders. It was our military power. We did this. And when we do that, we take our eyes off of God, don't we? And I think it also indicates to us that for a lot of people, prayer is not really something that they so much believe in, but it's just a nice thing to say at times of trouble, times of conflict. Well, we'll pray. We'll pray for you. But do you? Are you faithful in this? Do you see the power in prayer? Paul urges God's people to pray for all people in any and every situation. You know, it's one of the greatest gifts that you can give somebody is to pray for them. Since God is sovereign and mighty, using all things to accomplish his will, then it's important to bring all things to him. If he's in control, if he's in charge, then there's nothing you can't bring before the throne of God. Nothing too big, nothing too small. This includes praying for the family of God, as well as praying for those who have no regard for God at all. Even when an evil dictator raises his fist at God and does the most terrible things, God is still in control, using all things to accomplish his will. Listen to what Daniel says, Daniel 2:21. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Romans 13:1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God, placed there by God. Even though it may seem like a mistake and it may not be the person of our choosing, God is in control. He's sovereign. He's mighty. And we can trust him that he knows what he's doing, even though sometimes things look pretty confusing. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. The king's heart is in God's hands, and he turns it wherever he wills. God is in control. So back to my original question, how can God's people be a blessing to our country? And the first thing Paul says is we need to pray for those leaders in authority over us. Pray for those leaders and authority over us. Verse 2, for kings and those in high positions. Do you realize that when Paul instructed Timothy to teach the church to pray for kings and political leaders, that at the time Nero was the emperor of Rome? Nero. You've heard stories about Nero, how he set Rome on fire and blamed the Christians, and then after that it started this terrible persecution against God's people, and they died in the most horrible and most terrible ways. He was an evil, evil man. And yet Paul is telling the church to pray for Nero, asking God to bless him. I'm sure praying for Nero, praying for anyone like him, doesn't sit well for a lot of Christians then and even for us today. The very thought of praying for Nero, who's doing such evil things, that must have hit them awfully wrong. And when Paul calls us to pray for kings here, he's not saying pray for these kings that God will take them out and end their lives. That's not what we're to pray about. Again, we're called to pray that God would bless them. And as God blesses them, he blesses us. This means that we are to pray for them no matter how good or bad they are, no matter what political party they belong to, no matter whether they are conservative or liberal, no matter how moral or immoral they are, no matter how just or unjust they might be. We need to pray for those in authority over us, asking God to bless them and use them to bless us, to bless this nation, that God's will might be done. A good example of this was King Nebuchadnezzar, who was king of Babylon in the days of Daniel, and he had everything. He had power, he had wealth, he had beauty all around him, he had opulence like you wouldn't believe. And one day he's walking on the roof of his palace and he looks at everything that he felt he created, everything that he did, and he said, "Is this not the great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" Well, as soon as he said that, do you remember what happened? God's hand of judgment fell upon King Nebuchadnezzar and he became like an animal and he wandered out in the brush like an animal, eating grass, that passage says, until a day came where he finally acknowledged God, and he said this, "For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth." You know, knowing that our president is in God's hands, despite him not always having, much of a moral compass, yet because he is in God's hands, we need to pray for him and ask God to bless him so that he might be a blessing to us and to our country. Paul says when we pray for God to bless our leaders, then we in turn are blessed. Verse 2, he calls us to pray for kings and for all those who are in a position of authority over us, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. As God blesses his people, so the nation is blessed as well. Listen again to a passage that we read earlier, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It was on the screen. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin," and what's that last part? "And heal their land." And heal their land. Do you know that your prayers for our nation and leaders, it blesses all who live here? Prayer is more important than legislation and laws. Prayer really is an act of patriotism, strengthening our nation, giving us hope and a future. Because where does our hope lie? It's not in ourselves. It's not in our government or our military. But it's in the Lord. Our trust is in the Lord. And so we need to lift up our nation. We have to lift up our leaders before the Lord. Who's in control? Who's sovereign and mighty? Proverbs 11:11, "By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, or I think you could say the nation is exalted. Do you pray for our country, our leaders, on a regular basis? If you don't, it's really time that you started. This is important. Salvation is not found in the Democrat or Republican Party. It's not found in a certain president or a certain leader, but it's found in the Lord. And we have to remember that. It's found in the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It's found in Jesus. The defeated one is alive and well and working so hard to undermine the values and the morals of our country, of this nation. But rather than throw in the towel, circle the wagons, and just say to ourselves, "Well, we just got to hold on until Jesus comes again." No, We got to go out in Jesus' name. He's blessed us to be a blessing. And so we shouldn't hide. We shouldn't hide in our churches. But we should be empowered here to actually go out and serve the Lord and do what he asks of us. And to pray. I came across a poem recently. It's called "The Lord, Lord, Teach America to Pray." Listen to these words. It's not very long. "And as her flag unfurls on high, its starry splendor to the sky, may we in grateful thanks to thee, who gave to us this land so free, reserve her freedom in thy way, preserve her freedom in thy way. Lord, teach America to pray. May our good land be true and just, her motto ever, in God we trust. May she be guided by thy word, thy wisdom in her halls be heard. May all who love her plead today, Lord, teach America to pray." We need to pray so that revival might come, as we saw as we've been studying the book of Nehemiah. Another thing Paul calls us to pray for, and this might surprise some of you, that this is included in this little list of Paul's. But Paul calls the church to pray for the lost. Why would he say that here? Pray for the kings and those in authority over us so that you can live peaceful and good lives here on earth. But also pray for the lost. Why? What's the connection between those? Well, when there's peace in a nation, it's a whole lot easier to evangelize, right? And to share our faith. When there isn't freedom, when a country's in turmoil, then it's hard. It's hard to look outwards. It's like our own denomination. For the last how many years we've been focused on this human sexuality report, and because our focus has been inward, we don't do as much good as we could normally. And now that hopefully this is settled and the church can move on, our denomination can again look outward. We have a job to do, to reach the lost, to be that city on a hill that can't be hidden. And that's a huge task that God has given to us. As you pray for our nation and reach out to the lost, it actually stabilizes our country and invites God's hand of blessing. Jesus is the only hope for our country. Not a political party. Jesus is the only hope for our country. And Christians need to pray two prayers. Lord, send the light to those who are lost in darkness. And secondly, Lord, may I be your light in the darkness around us. Someone once said, nature forms us, sin deforms us, education informs us, but only Christ can transform us. And that's so true. As the hearts of people change and turn to the Lord, they can be a catalyst of transformation, spreading the flavor of the kingdom of God. That's what we do. Everywhere we go, hopefully you're spreading the flavor of the kingdom of God, the flavor of Christ's love. 1968, an elderly man was walking down the street. This was during the hippie movement. He saw a young man burning a flag and then stomping on it and cursing it. The elderly man was frail and sick, but he walked up to the young man and he said, "Boy, I don't want no trouble with you. And I'm too frail to beat you up, but son, do you have any idea what you're doing?" With tears streaming down his face, he said, "Please stop this." The young man wasn't totally gone. He still had some respect for his elders. And so he said, "Mister, tell me something. Is this flag your God?" The elderly man said, "No, it's not my God, but it's everything I believe in. And everything I stand for. When you spit and stand on that flag, then you spit and stomp on my body and the body of my son who was killed in the last war. You're also standing on everything I fought for in the First World War." And then he said, "Besides, this flag reminds me something of my God." The young man was puzzled and clearly didn't understand, so he asked, How does this old flag remind you of your God? And the elderly man smiled and said, it's very simple. Our country and the freedom we enjoy is a gift from God. It reminds me of his love and care and blessings. The red reminds me of the crimson red blood of Jesus Christ. The white reminds me of the purity you receive when you accept Jesus as your Savior. The blue, especially since I'm old, it reminds me of the sky I'm going to fly through really soon. And the stars, well, they remind me of the crown that I'm going to wear one day on my head. The young man picked up the half-burnt flag and said, sir, I'm sorry, you can have what's left. He said, I didn't know it meant so much to so many people. Your prayers for our country and leaders, they invite God's blessing on our nation and its people, and it shows who we're trusting in, that it's in God that we trust. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, may God find us faithful in this great calling that he's given us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you that we could be reminded again of, Father, how you are in control, you are in charge, holding all things in your hands, even our great nation. Father, forgive us when we trust in man rather than in you. Father, when we trust in the things of this world rather than in your mighty hands, forgive us, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that we might be faithful as your people in praying for our leaders, for our nation. Lord, the job you've given our president to do is not an easy one. And so, Lord, we just pray that you might bless him and give him the ability, Lord, to carry out his office. Lord, he seems to be struggling so much lately. Bless him, Lord, for whatever time he has left in office. And we just pray, Lord, that you might use him, and sometimes despite him, Father, still use him, Lord, to accomplish your will. We just thank you, Lord, that you are in control, that all things are in your hands. May we not forget that, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.